I'm not necessarily the most organized man in the world. I know. I'm just, you know, so humble. I get to travel a little bit, and I've noticed that every time I go travel somewhere, there's things I leave last that perhaps should have been first. You know, like I get to the point where I have to go out the door, and that's where I remember, hey, maybe I should check if I have my passport, my wallet, my keys. You know, my socks were neatly folded and packed yesterday in my suitcase, already zipped up and ready to go. But my passport, I haven't thought of yet. You know, socks are great to have on a trip, but they're not mission critical. Like your passport, that will actually allow you to go where you need to go and to do what you need to do. You know, how often do we think last about areas that matter the most? As Thomas shared last week, we tend to give too much focus and attention to few areas at the expense of areas that truly matter. And so we are starting this series, as Thomas has mentioned, called First Things First, and really by asking these two key questions. Who gets your first? Who gets your best? And we anchored this series in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and so perhaps we should start there. Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. And then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." And so we're talking about faith, family, finances, and health over these next few weeks. But we're going to start with first things first, faith today. Faith. So you can write that on your notepad, on your phone, whatever you're using. It's always great to take notes and to go over these messages through your week. And it will really help you, and it will really actually settle it deeper in your life. So I encourage you to do that. Can I pray for you before we get started? Amen. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we get together in your house around your name and around your word. And Father, I just pray for this series, God. Lord, I pray that you will open our eyes, you will open our ears, you'll open our heart to what you want to speak to us individually about in these weeks. And Father, I just pray that you reveal perhaps areas in our lives where we need to make shifts in our priorities and equip us, God, for what you have in store for us this year and for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 People may not call themselves a person of faith, but reality is that we all place our trust in someone or in something. Whether that be the government, whether that be our bank account, our relationships, or perhaps even ourselves and our own abilities. What do you place your faith in? It's a great question. It may be hard to answer, but what if I ask it like this? What did you do last time you ran into something that was beyond your control? What did you hold on to the last time you faced a challenge that was bigger than you? You know, we cannot speak about faith in church without looking at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. How do we know that God loves coffee? Because he brews, you know, every time, you gotta say it. So who is my coffee drinkers here? Okay, who is the tea drinkers? Hot chocolate? Who hates hot drinks? Yeah, I see that hand. All right, my wife, she's no hot drinks. It's good. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is probably our best definition of what faith is, in short, from the Bible. It says this, "Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Sometimes when you read that scripture, it can sound a little bit like an oxymoron. We're talking about confident hope and assurance about things we do not see. Assurance about what we are not in control of. A confident hope in what is unknown. Wow. That's perhaps a little bit different than what we would connect words of faith to. But that's why I love this passage so much, because it challenges the thought that faith is simply wishful thinking. That's not what we understand when we read the Bible. It goes well beyond that. No, the faith that we speak about when we read the Bible is it's a faith that I can hold onto as an anchor for my soul. Firm and secure, it says in Hebrews 6:19. It's a faith that can move the mountains, says Jesus in Matthew 17:20. It's a faith that can guide me through the darkest of times, we read in Psalm 23:4. It's a faith that can bring healing to my body, Luke 8:50. It's a faith that can open doors of opportunity, says Psalm 118, verse 5. It's a faith that can unlock blessing over my life, says Matthew 21:22. And it is a faith, and it is only by faith that I am saved, that I am forgiven, that I am set free, and that I am promised of an eternal life, says Ephesians 2:8. You see, faith is not about being an optimistic person. Faith is not about looking at a glass half full rather than half empty. No, faith is about tapping into a God factor that can fill my glass, that has the ability to turn situations from nothing to something, that has the power to change the circumstances. That is the faith that I'm able to tap into when it comes to our faith in Jesus. It's a faith that changes the dynamic. It is a gateway for the supernatural in my life. Yet have you noticed that there are times where it can be pretty hard to have faith? We can all get riled up in church. Yes, faith. Yes, I need faith in my life. But then when it comes to Monday morning or Tuesday, it can sometimes be a little bit tricky, a little bit challenging. And it can feel easier to doubt, or perhaps just to do nothing at all. What is the opposite of faith? Fear, perhaps, some would say. Perhaps it is. Another thought is that the opposite of faith is certainty. Because if I had certainty, a guarantee of something, then I would not need faith. Interesting thought. You know, in fact, without the unknown, let's imagine for a second a world where everything was certain. You knew with a guarantee what would happen next. You had certainty about your future. I would argue that neither faith nor fear could exist in that environment because we had certainty about it. We knew what was going to happen. We knew the fallout. We knew the outcome. And so faith and fear has the unknown in common. It's two drastically different approaches to the same root issue of the unknown, the uncertain, what I do not see. There's an author, Lee Strobel, he said it like this. Only in a world where faith is difficult can faith exist. What a challenging thought. Well, I just want faith to be easy. I want faith to be easy. I want it to be easy. I just want it to be something I can easily grab a hold of. But only in a world where faith is difficult can faith actually exist. So why is faith relevant to us today in 2022? Well, it's very, very relevant to us because we deal with the unknown every single day. We deal with the uncertain. And we live in unprecedented times, as we're reminded over and over again by the media. Getting a little bit sick of that word. Can we just have a precedented time? That would be really nice. You know, I don't know about you, but before this pandemic, I lived with what I now understand to be the illusion of certainty in certain areas. For example, if I planned a holiday 6 months in advance, I felt very certain that that holiday was going to take place. You know, I wouldn't even buy a travel insurance. Why would you? Of course, I'm going to go on this holiday, I'm going to go on the plane, and I'm going to be allowed into this country. It would not even cross my mind that something could come in the way of this. I had certainty about it. I understand now, it's probably a false sense of certainty. You know, now it's a little bit different. You know, sadly, I've been in so many conversations with people over the last months where people are just completely giving up on planning anything. You know, that there is just too much uncertainty. And we can almost feel this sense that life is almost on standby. That I first need this thing to be resolved, this external circumstances to be changed, before I can move on with my life and plan again and dare to dream again about my future. We stop planning because things might not happen. We stop dreaming about the future because things might not happen. We're dealing with the unknown. We're dealing with the uncertain, with the things we cannot see the result of. And we gotta navigate this in our lives. What I have realized, though, is that nothing about my future was more certain in 2019 than it is in 2022. Other than I'm 3 years older. So there you go. You know, as Thomas mentioned, I work for an organization called A21, and we're fighting human trafficking around the world. And today we have 19 offices in 12 locations on 6 continents. And so to manage this work, I need to travel. It's part of the deal. We got to travel a bit to look after all these locations. And so, you know, the pandemic hit and kind of stuck at home on Zoom. Who loves Zoom? No hands. Amazing. After quite a long time, I really, really needed to go to a few places to sort a few things out. Because that's what we build our organizations on, the way we have structured things. And so I realized last year that it was actually possible to travel again to certain locations. Just follow the guidelines, Phil. Just follow the guidelines. And it's possible to travel again. And so I dared to travel, and it went great. Actually, the irony is that every trip I planned last year actually happened. It just like I planned. It's possible. And it was amazing, except for one trip. One trip got messed up. I was going to go to Texas to see our office there. I was going to go to Mexico to launch our brand new office in Mexico City. I was so excited about this trip, and I just could not wait to go. And then, you know, the day before my flight, I had to go out and get the mandatory test. Thank you, Jesus. And on my way home, I'm driving past McDonald's. And I had this thought, what if I brought home a delicious, nutritious meal to my family from this astounding restaurant. And so I did the drive-through. I picked up the burger. I picked a special burger because, you know, when you're at McDonald's, you got to go for it. And I brought it home, and everyone was excited about McDonald's until 2 hours later, where I got absolutely destroyed by the worst food poisoning of my life. I mean, this thing was of Old Testament proportions. I mean, it was the worst. It was bad. It was really bad. Okay, so for 2 days, I was stuck at home wanting to be somewhere else. And thankfully, in the end, I managed to get on that plane, and I managed to go there, albeit a couple of days late. Now, it is interesting to me that the only trip that was interrupted last year was not by the pandemic or by restrictions, but by a bad burger from McDonald's. Something that had an equal risk in 2019. So there you go. Friend, life may look a little bit different now. And no, we are not in control of our future. And no, we do not have certainty about tomorrow. And no, we do not know what the future will bring. But you know what? Those are the prime conditions for faith. Those are the perfect circumstances for faith. That we can put our hope and our trust in the one who is in control and who does know what my future brings and who does hold me in that future in his hand. I just want to encourage anybody here today who feels like their life is on standby, who have given up on making plans, who has given up on dreaming about the future. I want to encourage you to take heart. I want to encourage you to seek him about your future. I want to encourage you to dare to step out and to have faith for this year, for this 2022, and to not let it run you by. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we do not live by faith. But we live our lives by faith and not by sight. Let me get that right. Really important. The shortest verse I have, and still I messed it up. For we live by faith, not by sight. Amen? One more story from the pandemic. I'm sorry, but I have to. In 2020, when the whole world kind of went on that first lockdown, I'm sorry to remind you of that time. But there was, you know, again, we have people working all over the world, and there were certain countries where people were not even allowed to leave their own home for several months. And we're trying to run an organization to fight human trafficking, to make a difference in this world, and to actually help people. And everyone was just kind of like, what do we do, you know? And so our founders, Nick and Christine, they got us all onto, yeah, you guessed it, a Zoom call. And there we were. And then Nick and Chris, they started speaking faith. They started speaking faith over our team, over our organization. And they said, you know what? Our mission is not done. And these circumstances are not going to stop us and hinder us from what we are called to do and for what we're called to, for the people we're called to help and for what we are building. And if you know Christine Kane, you'll know that she can take it to the next level. And she did. She didn't disappoint. Chris had a personal word for us. And she took it to the next level. She said, you know what? I am believing for double. I'm believing for double. I'm believing that in this pandemic, we're not going to take a step backwards. We're going to take a step forward. That we're going to have double the impact through this season. And everyone was just like, amen, let's go. And, you know, we thought, oh, it's, you know, it's encouraging. Let's go for it. But she was dead serious. And right after the meeting, she asked me for a list of all the stats of everything we had accomplished in 2019. And she said, okay, what does double look like? What does double look like in all of these areas? And so I produced the list, and then we got to work. And then we got to work adjusting everything that we do, how we do it. Every single person on our staff around the world literally had to change their job description somehow to figure out how do we now adjust to these new times, to these new circumstances, because we are going to continue to have an impact in this. And, you know, we had to change, we had to cancel our biggest event we run every single year called Walk for Freedom, and we had to come up with a new one. With a few months' notice, we had to change how we cared for survivors. We had to find new ways to think innovatively and creatively about how do we actually have the same impact that we have, and how can we even reach more people than we did before. And I'm really, really proud to say that we never stopped or slowed down our care in any location around the world throughout this whole season. That we've been able to care for every single person. And it is pretty astounding to close 2021 and to look at what has been accomplished. Because 2021 was easily the biggest and best year we've ever had as an organization. We have reached more people than ever before, by far. We have seen more victims, more slaves rescued and brought out of human trafficking than ever before. We have invited more survivors into our care than ever before. We have launched new countries. We have started new work. It is absolutely humbling to look at. Why? And yeah, just to finish that thought, we did double. And in other places, we tripled. And in some places, we quadrupled our impact. Why is that? By the grace of God. Yeah. But also, there was someone who dared to speak faith. Yeah. And to unlock that potential, to challenge the thinking of everyone and called us to lift our eyes and start looking at the possibilities. Start looking at the opportunities. Start seeking God for new vision, for new ways, for new creativity. And to actually believe that we can still do something. Romans 10, 17 says that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You see, this whole example to me, it just highlighted how important it is who I listen to. And what is fueling my life? Is it fueling my faith? Or is it fueling my fear? Is who I surround myself with fueling my faith or fueling my fear? Is what I listen to fueling my faith or fueling my fear? Is what I watch fueling my faith or fueling my fear? How do I build this confidence that Hebrews 11:1 speak of? How do I get this sense of assurance in what I'm standing in front of? Well, I believe that the greater your relationship with God is, the greater the confidence and assurance that He will come through for you will be as well. Matthew 6:33. Jesus is speaking to people about worries. He's talking about people who are worrying about tomorrow. They're worrying about the unknown, the uncertain, what is yet to be, what I cannot see. And then he says this, "Do not worry, but instead seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well." Seek first. Why? Well, because it is in seeking Him, it is in building a relationship with Him that our faith is strengthened. You want to build your faith? Build your relationship with Jesus. You want to build your faith? Build your relationship with Jesus. So what does this look like? I'm going to finish real practical here in the last few minutes of this message. I just want to share a couple of quick thoughts on something, on topics that we are all aware of. Number one, our prayer. In prayer. You know, I think one of the greatest hindrances and challenges people face in praying for themselves is that they think there is a certain way that they must pray that is not natural to them. That there are certain words that must be said, has to be done in a certain tone that they've heard someone else do. And they sit there and they don't know how to say those words or how to pray those prayers. But you see, I believe that prayer is the link that connects me with God. So the more natural the words, the more you those words are, the more authentic and greater connection you're going to have with God. God is not looking for a performance. God is not looking for you to memorize a prayer. He is looking for you to be real and connect with Him in a real relationship. There is no formula. There is no correct words to pray. There is just your prayer to God. You know, some people would encourage you to pray to God like He's your father. So if you, you know, pray to Him like you would talk to your dad. Well, if you have a great relationship with your dad, that's great advice. For everyone else who don't, you know, just think of a time when you sat down with your closest relationship, whether it was a family member or a friend, and you were able to have an intimate conversation where you could just be real, where you could just be yourself and just speak with them with your, from your heart. Think of God like that. Approach God like that. Speak to Him like that, like He is your closest friend, that He knows everything, that you are safe around Him. Make that your prayers. Number two, worship. Now, I'm from Jutland, and sorry to generalize, Aalborg, but I'm on your side. I struggle a little bit to put words to how I feel sometimes. And, you know, I can have all these feelings inside of me about God, what I want to communicate to Him, this deep love, and I struggle sometimes to do that. And that's one of the reasons why I love worship, because some really smart people, some really smart creative people, yeah, has actually been able to formulate what I am really wanting to tell God. And it just helps me put words to how I feel about God and my heart for Him. And when I'm standing there in worship, I'm standing there in agreement with those lyrics. And they become my worship. They become my worship because they connect with what I feel in my heart. You see, worship is not about the quality of your singing voice. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. What it's really about is the condition of our hearts towards Him. You see, worship is surrender. Like Thomas was sharing earlier, it is about laying down my burdens, laying down my fears, laying down my insecurities, my lack and my wants at the altar of His feet. And to say, God, I trust You with this. I lay it down here. You know, nothing should stop us from having our own worship session when we're at home, in our own bedroom, in our office, in our car, out on a walk, wherever it is. We have our phones jam-packed even with free worship music that we have access to 24/7. Every single song that we sing here in church is on Spotify. You can find it and you can listen to it and you can join in with it. And it is just amazing what it does when we turn on music in our lives and link in with God that way. It's a powerful, powerful way to connect with God and to build our faith. Amen? Number three, reading the Bible. I'm going quick through these. Just some few thoughts because we talk about these topics a lot at church. And just wanted to bring a couple of different angles. Number three, reading the Bible. You see, the voice of God can be a bit of a mystery to people to figure out. How do I hear the voice of God? And there'll be many people who experience the voice of God in different ways. Some feel it like a still small voice. Some people have experienced an audible voice. Some people feel like it's a strong thought that just a strong good thought that just come out of nowhere and just stand there. And it feels like it's the voice of God. But you know, there's many times where we can actually see His word as a way of God speaking to us. You know, you could see prayer as how you speak to God and reading scripture as how God talks back. You know, reading the Bible is a little bit like opening your Instagram account and seeing an ad for that product you were just talking about the other day. How does it know? Who's listening to me? Who's recording me when I don't know about it? That's how it can feel like opening up your Bible and reading a passage and seeing, well, how I just picked this verse. I just picked this passage and it's speaking directly into my life, into my circumstances right now. It's amazing how you can read the same verse, the same chapter again and again over different seasons of life, and it speaks directly to that season that you're in right now. You know, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says that the word of God is alive and it is active. It's alive and it is active in our lives. It has the ability to become alive in us. It's not just a dead old text from thousands of years ago. No, it will speak to you today into your life and circumstances. Amen? And so I encourage you to open your Bible in 2022 to actually exercise, to have your Bible reading be part of your day-to-day life. Because who knows? God may just answer that question that you have through His Word. He may just speak directly into your circumstances that you're dealing with that Tuesday morning. Amen? Amen. And finally, the Word of God reminds us of who God is, of who we are in Him, that God is able to do immeasurably more than we can imagine or think, that I am loved, that I am an adopted daughter and son, that I have a purpose, that I have a future, that I am forgiven, that I am a child of God. The Bible is God's love story towards humanity. And reading it and meditating on those words, man, they will stir faith in you and they will bring you closer to who He is, to build that confidence in His ability to come through in your life. Amen? And finally, our church community. Church is essential to building faith and relationship with God. You know, Jesus, He came to earth to show us who God is. He did incredible work on this earth 2,000 years ago. He healed the sick. He ministered to the widows. He built community. He gathered people around Him. He spoke of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And then He left. But what He has called the church to be is to be the body of Christ. To actually be the hands and feet of Christ now for such a time as this. And you know, there is no place like church. There is no environment like church where we can practice all the things I've just spoken about. Where we can exercise faith. Where we can be in worship. Where we can pray together. Where we can read the Word and unpack the truths of God. And where we can be around people who are on the same journey as us. Every single person in this room, including me, is on a journey in this relationship with God. We're still discovering who He is. We're still discovering what that means for our lives. If you're sitting here and thinking, I have no clue what He's talking about, I don't know anything about God, you know what? You're in the right place. You're in church. It's awesome. You've made a great decision to actually be here and link in with what God is doing. And what I love about that is the community to actually link with other people who are on that same journey, who are asking the same questions. We have connect groups, which are small gatherings of people in through the weekdays, which are actually able to come together with food and have fun together and fellowship around what we're talking about in church, around the Word, where we can learn to pray. We can learn to read the Word and discuss the Word. It's powerful. There is no place like church to build your faith. Amen? Amen. Prayer, worship, reading the Bible, being part of church. Perhaps these are areas that you want to place a higher priority on in your 2022. As we finish, I just want to come back to the first scripture that I spoke on today, or really that I've spoken on throughout this message, which was Hebrews 11. And I just want to read it from the message because I just think it's beautiful. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, the fundamental fact of existence, wow, is that this truth, this trust in God, this faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle of what we cannot see. And the act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. So friend, how is your faith? And what role will faith play in your 2022? Will it be a nice thing? Will it be a Sunday thing? Will it be an on-occasion thing? Or will it be the very foundation upon which you build your life, upon which you can do all the things that you feel called to do this year? What would faith do in your life in 2022? What would faith do in your family? What would faith do in your marriage? What would faith do in your professional life? What would faith do in your finances? What would it do in your health? If we dare to trust God and have faith for this year, first things first. First things first. Amen? Amen, amen, church. I wanna just finish by praying for a group of people here today who, when you look at your life right now, when you assess your life, you don't recognize this relationship with Jesus in your life. And I want to give you an opportunity to connect with Him today, to make Him your Lord and Savior, to start this a new, fresh relationship with Him today. You know, perhaps you have said yes to Jesus many times before. Perhaps you've prayed this prayer many times before. But today you recognize that you don't have that relationship with Him and you desire to come back to Him. I want to pray for you today. Perhaps you've never prayed that prayer before. Perhaps it's your first time even being in an environment like this. Can I tell you that Jesus, He loves you. And He has designed you for a relationship with Him. That we were not created to figure all this out on our own or to do it in our own strength and ability, but to actually do it through a relationship with Him. A relationship that's real, that's tangible, that I can build my life on Monday to Sunday. Amen. Can we close our eyes for a moment? Perhaps bow our heads just to give a sense of privacy in this moment. And I'm going to pray a prayer in just a second. And I would love to include you in that prayer if you want to make that decision today to say yes to Him. Just on the count of three, if you wouldn't mind just raising your hand, just as no one is looking around, but just so I know who I'm praying with today. Three, if this is you today, you know, you don't have to walk out of here, try to fix your life and to come back and make this decision. He loves you right where you are. Two, you have right here, right now. He loves you, friend. One, if that's you, why don't you lift your hand right now? I would love to pray with you. Amazing. Beautiful. Thank you. God bless you. That's amazing. Let us pray together. We're going to pray this prayer together, all of us as a church right now, but especially if you raised your hand or perhaps you didn't, but you want to pray this prayer today, make this your prayer today for your life. Are you ready, church? Yeah. Here we go. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross for me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me a new life. Today, I say yes to you. And please forgive my past and all my mistakes. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. I want to start this relationship with you. From the outset of this year, I say yes to you and all that you have in store for me this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. God bless you. Amen.